This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
About 20 minutes ago, the wire services reported that Joe Lieberman died. What we know is that he died from complications from a fall when he was in New York City. Now, unfortunately, these falls happen too often. It took the life of my father-in-law. Now, Lieberman really was the last of the moderates. He really was. Even the guy that's replaced him, Chris Murphy, he's a hardball lefty. And, of course, in 2007, he endorsed John McCain for president. But he was a moderate, and in Connecticut, he was challenged by a guy named Ned Lamont. He's a businessman, a leftist, who wanted to take his party further left and wanted the nomination for the Senate seat that year. And won the nomination against Lieberman. And Lieberman said, "I love my party, but I love my country more." And he ran as an independent. And he got 50% of the vote. He won re-election to the Senate with 70% Republicans voting for him. 30% Democrats voting for him, 50% independents voting for him. He had lifelong Republican friends and Democrat friends. But the likes of AOC and Bernie Sanders and so, that's just too much for him. And he took a stance against them. And it's really odd it would come at this time. I talked about the Democrat Party purifying itself over the years, which is exactly what it's done. Exactly what it's done. Now, Joe Lieberman was a great patriot. Great patriot. Obviously, we didn't always agree with him, you or I. But that said, he's one of the few who spoke out against fellow Democrats, of course, against Republicans, and he was for this no-labels movement because that's who he was. He was, you know, moderate. Very few Democrats have had the guts to speak out when Chuck Schumer made that speech he did on the Senate floor, which will go down in history as one of the most horrific speeches ever given by any top American official. And clearly undermine the state of Israel in the middle of a war. because Schumer carries water. He carried water for Obama. He carried water for other Democrats, and he carries water for Biden. What Biden has done and is doing to our country and to the state of Israel is unconscionable. It's diabolical. Diabolical. I want to remind you of what Senator Lieberman said on Fox News last Monday. I guess it was with Neil Cavuto, Mr. Producer. And I get the impression, although obviously I don't know, that Lieberman and Cavuto were pretty friendly. But I want you to hear just a minute and a half of what a person who puts country before party says. Now, we here, we always put country before anything. Certainly before party. But today, and in autocratic regimes around the world, the party comes first, and that's the way the Democrats operate. That's what happened to this Rona McDaniel. That was it. But let's listen to this. This is 9 days ago. Just 9 days ago. Cut 20, go.
I don't think anything was brave about it. I think it was outrageous, and I think really it was a case of a high elected official in the U.S. taking advantage of a friend. And you wouldn't do this with a casual ally or certainly an enemy. But to call out one of our closest allies in the world, Israel, a democracy, when it's at war, and tell its people they should dump their prime minister. Wow, talk about crossing a red line. That was a diplomatic red line that I have never in all my years seen crossed. And it is outrageous. I've been following the polls in Israel. The truth is that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not popular right now, and his right-wing government is not popular. But if you ask the people of Israel, is Netanyahu following the right policy in Gaza, trying to destroy Hamas? The answer is overwhelmingly positive. So Chuck Schumer is asking the people of Israel to do something totally contrary to what their opinion is. And I mean, can you imagine if Schumer had made a similar appeal to the people of Britain to overthrow Prime Minister Sunak for some reason, or the people of Ukraine to overthrow President Zelensky because he wasn't making enough progress?
And this voice, his voice, will be terribly missed. He wasn't a showboat. He wasn't a drama queen. You can hear a very soft-spoken man, very decent man. A Democrat, a moderate, who had to leave his party in order to win re-election to the Senate and run as an independent the next time as well. The vice presidential nominee of his party was Gore in 2000. And 7 years later, in the run-up to the 2008 election, he endorses McCain. Just want you to think about that. You compare a guy like Lieberman to Schumer, there's no comparison. You compare a guy like Lieberman to Sanders, there's no comparison. To Blinken, to Thomas Friedman of the New York Times. History will treat Joe Lieberman very, very well. And it should. We are in extraordinarily dangerous and dark times in this country. We have media outlets that are as bad as any media outlets in regimes that have state-run media, whether it's communist China, communist North Korea, communist Cuba, communist Venezuela, fascistic Russia. Honest to God, folks, NBC and MSNBC, CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and most of the others, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the people who work in these companies. That's what they are, companies, and the most radical elements in our country. And honestly, the candidacy of Donald Trump, the presidency of Donald Trump, the effort at the Trump re-election, the unbelievable, unspeakable, unimaginable slaughter of the Israeli Jews on October 7th, it's brought it all to the fore. All to the fore. These elements are out of the closet now. They're in our universities, and they control them. They're in our media, and they control it. They're in Hollywood, and they control it. And these are all, just as there's the Muslim Brotherhood, the umbrella group for all these groups throughout the Middle East and so forth, there's the Democrat Party. Obviously, it's not the Muslim Brotherhood. But in terms of structure, it's the mothership. To all these movements, all these CRT, DEI, economic socialism, cultural Marxism, open borders, the war on our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, the cancerous populating of our courts with radical leftists and attacking those judges and justices that don't comply. The river to the sea crowd. All of it. Anti-American, hate America. These are very grim times. And the man in the Oval Office seeks to exploit it all. Seeks to exploit it all. I posted, in the last week alone, he's accused Donald Trump of wanting to destroy health care. It's a lie. Who wants to destroy health care? He's accused Donald Trump of wanting to destroy Social Security, and yet it was he who went to the Senate floor multiple times and demanded that Social Security be slashed. Donald Trump has demanded that it go untouched, even though I personally believe it needs to be reformed. He does not. Biden is accusing Trump of wanting to destroy Medicare. Trump hasn't said anything about destroying Medicare. Biden has accused Trump of wanting to outlaw abortion nationwide. That's clearly not Trump's position. And this is the obsession of the Democrat Party for the reason that I wrote in The Democrat Party Hates America, which was the most important voting demographic the Democrats have. It's not blacks. It's not Jews. It's not any minority. It's single women by a huge margin. Single childless women. That is their strongest base. That's why they will talk of abortion until they're blue in the face. He says Donald Trump wants to destroy democracy. And yet, Donald Trump left office. He did not commit any acts of insurrection or sedition or violence, which is how Joe Biden wound up in the Oval Office. It's Joe Biden who's clearly destroying our republic. And he says that Donald Trump wants to put his political opponents in prison, when in fact he's trying to put Donald Trump in prison. What you saw at MSNBC and NBC with Rona McDaniel has nothing to do with Rona McDaniel. It's much bigger than that. These people hate your guts, and they hate this country. They talk about elections. They try to change the electoral system in every single state. They have a phalanx of lawyers from one end of the country to the other, trying to institute laws and rules and executive orders that ensure they can't lose. And apparently, it's a bridge too far to require people to show the voter ID that's already been handed out to them for a thousand other reasons when they vote. Because the Democrats, by that act alone are depending on fraud. They don't care about what's happening in the open border. They don't care what's happening to our people as a result of an open border. They could care less. Joe Lieberman said, "I love my party, but my country comes first." That's not your typical Democrat. They love their party first, foremost, above all else. And in many ways, they hate our country. Lieberman wanted nothing to do with that. He's the only major Democrat that I can think of who took on his party, who took on Schumer, who rejected what Biden was doing. Nothing in common with Bernie Sanders, would not play footsie with the Marxist swing of the Democrat Party, wanted nothing to do with it. And unfortunately, with his death, there are none or very few left like him. None or very few. MSNBC is the network of Bernie Sanders and AOC. CNN is the network of Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollars under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professionals. Let me ask you folks a question. When adults decide that certain books in libraries and schools are pornographic, are sexually explicit, that are highly inappropriate for elementary school students, the kids that you send to public school to learn. These are books that you would never have in your home. These are books that when parents bring them to public school board meetings and start to read from them, they're gaveled down. Is it appropriate to have such books in your schools? Joe Biden says yes. And Joe Biden says any effort to remove those books, any effort to remove those books, to her, has a stench of Nazi Germany before World War II. I want to play for you what she said, and then again, we talk about Lieberman as a statesman. Then I want you to hear what Jill Biden had to say and how contemptible and diabolical this whole Biden family and Democrat Party are. Be right back.
Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark Levin, America's Paul Revere. Call him now at 877-381-3811.
Two bodies have been recovered now in the river where the bridge collapsed. Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Two bodies have been recovered in a truck. Two crew members. Those poor guys didn't know what the hell hit them. There's no question about that. And the heroes, the police officers that blocked both ends of that bridge 90 seconds before it collapsed. That's why I played for you. Must have been, what, 12, 13 minutes of what took place right before the bridge collapsed, the collapsing of the bridge, and thereafter. And those first responders, those police officers, who'd never seen anything like this, any of them patrol officers and so forth, their decisions saved probably hundreds of lives. And of course, if they had made, quote unquote, the wrong decision, it would have ruined their careers. But that's what you do. You try and do the right thing at the right time. I mean, that was a massive backup of traffic. It is a very, very heavily traveled area on the East Coast. And we salute them last night, we salute them today, and we salute them every day. So here's Jill Biden at the Human Rights Campaign dinner in L.A. on Sunday. And here's the thing, folks. Biden's campaign, MSNBC, CNN, they push these hysterical narratives. They are pushing half of the country to the brink of violence, meaning their half. They're telling you that Trump is Hitler. They're telling you that his supporters are neo-Nazis. The New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, they are creating a hysterical environment that leads to violence while they're pointing to January 6th and they're pointing to Trump and all the rest. They don't want to run on the issues. So here's Joe Biden. Now, folks, Governor DeSantis, who's a friend of mine, and all these other governors and so forth that are trying to protect their children from these sick efforts to sexualize them. And so to try and create the impression that they are the Nazis, that they're the book banners, that they're the book burners. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I want you to think of it this way. If the Democrat Party had its way, would we be a better country? What goes on in our classrooms? What goes on in our streets? What goes on in the media? What goes on in terms of Washington on spending and the border? Seriously, if the Democrat Party controlled everything and there was no real opposition, what would our country look like? What would happen to it? With a wealth tax? With them controlling the suburbs? With them squeezing the cities to prevent little kids from going to other schools, that is opposition to school choice, undermining law enforcement, open border, nationalizing hospitals, nationalizing pharmaceutical companies, I'm sure that would be great. What would the country look like? Electric vehicles, the removal of gas-driven vehicles? If they had their way, what kind of hell would we be living in today? So here's Jill Biden. Jill Biden has learned from Joe. Lie like a rug and lie all the time and create hysterics and create emotions and create anger. Because that's the only way we can turn out our voters, you know. Cut one, go.
History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly.
First of all, ours is disappearing overnight, and it really is precious to hear a lecture from you. What the hell do you know? Nothing. Go ahead.
Subtly, silently, a book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law.
See how they lie? That law in Florida had nothing to do with a don't say gay law. The left created that. It marketed it. The media ran with it. It's a keep your hands off our kids law. It has nothing to do with whether you're gay or straight or in between or how many. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. It says no sexually explicit materials in our elementary schools in Florida. Whether they're gay or straight or mixed or whatever they are, don't expose the children to this. Why isn't it assumed that gay people want their children or others' children exposed to this stuff? They don't. Go ahead.
Before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe.
I have no idea what the hell that means. Berlin, I guess in the 1930s, was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe, she's told, which means it's not true. Nobody even spoke that way. What does that mean? How sick are these Bidens? Before World War II, I'm told Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe. So now it's a culture? And Berlin was the center of it? I'm sure some media mogul at MSLSD or the Communist News Network will dig into that and check it out. Go ahead.
One group of people loses their rights. And then another, and then another.
Really? Why don't you wake up that stupid husband of yours and remind him of that? Because no president in American history has supported terrorism like Joe Biden and Hamas. And now he's done things that will make it virtually impossible to get those hostages out who are being raped, who are being tortured, who are being brutalized and being murdered. And by the way, there's Americans that are being held hostage. This is the guy that gave $6 billion for five or six hostages to Iran and then coddles Iran. This is the guy under whose watch Iran is going to have a nuclear weapon. And they'll blame that on Trump. It's unbelievable. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, if Joe Biden wins the next election, then we live in a country, if the election is fair, we live in a country where a majority of those voting want tyranny. And you may say that's unusual, and the truth is it's not. Again, going back to the Democrat Party hates America. The truth is it's not. Tyrannies are voted into office all the time throughout world history, or where there's elections throughout world history. This is true. People have written about it. Some do it wittingly, some do it unwittingly. Some just can't believe I'm going to vote Democrat. I mean, my family's done it for generations. I just can't imagine that they're... Right, got it. And that's what happens. Chapter 4. By the way, I've made available chapters 2 and 3 of The Democrat Party Hates America for free. Absolutely free, no strings attached. Let's flop that up there again, Mr. Producer. All you have to do is hit the link. It'll take you to the publisher's page. And then from there, you hit another link, and there's the two chapters in full. You can copy them, you can read them, you can share them. And that's the point. That's the point. So the book has what? 9 chapters, give or take? I can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe 10. So 20. 22, 23% of the book I'm making available for free.
The publisher was kind enough to do it because I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission here behind this microphone. This isn't a clown show. This is a serious platform. You can have fun and be entertaining, but this is a serious platform. It's conservative talk radio. Conservative talk radio. Not some clown morning show. There's plenty of those. Where, you know, we got all the sound effects and all the nasty stuff and all the... We don't do that. And if I did do that, this time slot would be dead all across America. More when we return. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. So I was pointing out, why do people vote for their own destruction? Why don't people vote for tyranny? And if you're voting for Democrats today, that's exactly what you're voting for. You're not voting for civil rights. You're not voting for the little guy. You're not voting for unions. You're not voting for the environment. You're voting for tyranny. Now, they try and lie. They're going to raise as much money as they can to push their propaganda because tyrants do that too. And they have their one-party media, the Democrat Party media. They demonstrated this 48 hours ago at NBC and MSNBC. That's what they have. They demonstrated it earlier at the New York Times when Tom Cotton, well, they ran an op-ed of his and they got kickback. And so they fired the op-ed editor at the New York Times and, of course, attacked Cotton, who slammed them back better than he got. And that's the nature of the beast. So if you're voting Democrat, you're voting for open borders. You're voting for fentanyl. You're voting for sex slavery. You're voting for all these things. Because that's the consequence of what they're doing. You're voting for inflation. You're voting for an all-powerful centralized government. You're voting for more taxes. And believe me, they will trickle down. Because the middle class is the tax base, not the billionaires and not the poor. You're voting to undermine law enforcement. You're voting to undermine school choice, parental rights, the freedom to protest truly peacefully if you protest against the state and the Democrat Party and their agenda, where right now you literally put your liberty on the line. You're voting for a party that will imprison, if it can, its political opponents. You're voting for a party that supports Hamas, supports the United Nations, against the United States and Israel. You're voting for a party that appeases communist China. You're voting for a party that embraces communist Cuba and communist Venezuela. You're voting for a party that is unraveling the greatest nation mankind has ever created since mankind's existence. You're voting for a party that embraces Bernie Sanders and AOC, whose ideology is a cancerous ideology born in Germany by Hegel and then Marx
Born before that, literally, by Rousseau. Rousseau, Hegel, Marx. To substitute for Locke, Montesquieu, and Smith. They don't believe in equality. They oppose individual liberty. They know that equity is an impossibility. Tell me, is there equity in North Korea? North Korea is a concentration camp. The entire damn thing. Is there equity there? No, there's never equity. There's never enough. Ask the people who survived Cambodia when 25% of the population was slaughtered. 25%. People were pushed out to the rice fields. They had their little baskets. And if some people had a little bit more rice than another in a basket, that was a crime against the People's Republic. Yes, that's right. 100 million people murdered under communism. 100 million people. And we have these American Marxists in our country. Will destroy this country from within. And people will vote for it. I see it with my own eyes. I told you about that story a couple weeks ago in Florida, the seminar on anti-Semitism and the Holocaust. About 520 people in the audience, most of whom were Jewish. And when the truth was spoken about what this regime is doing to the state of Israel and its ability to defend itself, about 30 or 40 of them walked out. But they've done more than that since. They went to the university that is in Florida, where this foundation has rented the auditorium for many, many years, and they demanded that the university shut it down and never again permit the foundation from running it out. Did you know that, Mr. Producer? So we have a problem here. Go to the backup. Does that work? All right. We have a backup system. Yes. We always have to around here. In any event, they're trying to destroy the foundation. Go after its tax status and everything. These are the people who will vote for tyranny even when there's knocks on their doors. Do I owe you something, Rich? Okay. A little discombobulated because I had to switch from one system to another in order to continue the broadcast here. But I've seen it with my own eyes. You've seen it with your own eyes. History tells us this all the time. People will vote for their own destruction. And then they'll wonder how it happened. How did this happen? What happened? What happened? You happened. Not you in this audience. You did this. I'll be right back. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Welcome back, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. I think it was last night, maybe the night before, I played a clip of Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart attacking, you know, Donald Trump and these billionaires and millionaires. They're arrogant. They think they're entitled when it comes to the issue of, you know, stealing their property under a phony law, trying to bankrupt him, take his buildings, even if he wins on appeal. Well, there's new information to add to this, but let me set the foundation. Listen to this again, and then I want to address it a little differently in a way that I think will very much pique your interest. Cut three, go.
Leave it to Kevin O'Leary to be unaware enough to say the quiet part out loud.
I hear about the so-called victimless crimes, but the laws on the books, falsification of business records in second degree, issuing false financial statements, insurance fraud, conspiracy, and all these different aspects of it, those are actual crimes. I take it your point is that these should not have been prosecuted?
Everything you just listed off is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city. This has never, ever been prosecuted.
There is a theory in law that if enough people commit a crime, it automatically becomes legal. You're familiar with the purge, are you not? The f***ing entitled arrogance. I don't know if you know this, but most people just can't commit fraud and expect to face no repercussions, even if everyone's doing it. Try getting a car loan by saying you have 10 times as much money as you really do, or claim 20 dependents when you have no children, or say you make slightly less money to qualify for food assistance. I will guarantee you there are not just financial consequences for those lies, but criminal ones. But don't tell that to the investment community, because in their minds, in pursuit of profit, there is no rule that cannot be bent. There is no principle that cannot be undercut, as long as you and your f***ing friends are making money.
Very persuasive, right? As he's saying all those things, he has a little dirty secret. As most leftists, preening leftists do, and this is according to several news reports, I'm reading the version in the New York Post. Jon Stewart is facing online backlash after the comedian opined on the air this week that Donald Trump's civil real estate case for overvaluing his properties was not victimless. When it turns out the price of a previous home sale finds Stewart doing exactly the same thing. I think Post-Millennial was the first with this, wasn't it, Mr. Producer? On Monday night, Stewart, 61, unpacked Trump's $454 million appeal bond, calling out experts framing the former president's New York civil case as not causing direct harm to any individual. And I played the clip for you. In response, Stewart asked, how is he not this mad about overvaluations in the real world? Because they are not victimless crimes, he said. And to further his point, Stewart argued that money is an infinite, a loan that goes to the liar, doesn't go to someone who's going a more doing a more honest evaluation, so the system becomes incentivized for corruption. All right, first of all, he's an economic illiterate and a moron, but putting that aside, nobody's arguing for that. But he says, Stewart also contended that failing to declare a higher market value on a property while paying taxes based on a lower assessed value constitute fraudulent behavior. Said the Attorney General of New York knew that Trump's property values were inflated because when it came time to pay taxes, Trump undervalued the very same properties. It was all part of a very specific real estate practice known as lying. It's not what Trump did. It's not what he was charged with. But it didn't take long for internet sleuths to look into Stewart's own property history, which shows an overvaluation, ready? An overvaluation of his New York City penthouse by a staggering 829%. Records confirmed by the Post reveal and Post Millennial. In 2014, Stewart sold a 6,280 square foot Tribeca duplex to financier Parag Pandey for $17.5 million. Notice as he poses as some, you know, man of the little guy. The property's asking price at the time is not available in listing records, but according to 2013-2014 assessor records obtained by the Post, the property had the estimated market value of only $1.882 million. The actual assessor valuation was even lower. $847,000. Let me get this straight. He sells it for $17.5 million. We don't know what the asking price was. It could have been higher. But according to the 2013-2014 assessor records, writes the Post, the property had the estimated market value of $1.882 million, Mr. Producer. And the actual assessor valuation was even lower, $847,000. Excuse me, I'm sneezing to the truth. It's an old line. I don't quite understand it, but I'll use it. Records also show that Stewart paid significantly lower property taxes, which were calculated based on the assessor valuation, precisely what he called Trump out for doing in his Monday monologue. Yeah, but this is massive. You're paying taxes on at most $1.882 million, or even potentially the lower $847,000. When you sell the property for $17.5 million, what's that all about, Mr. Producer? It's called a lie. Isn't that what he said? It's a fancy name for a lie. Now, Ponder, you purchased the penthouse from Stewart, then resold the property at a nearly 26% loss, according to The Real Deal, at just over $13 million in 2021. Boy, this raises a lot more questions than just this evaluation issue. Why would he pay significantly more, 26% more for the property? Timothy Poole, a political commentator known for more right-leaning views, alleged on X that Stewart was being a hypocrite. I don't know. Who was on the internet first commenting on this, Mr. Producer? Using the word hypocrite. Oh, yes. I mean, who's been... How many people played the audio from this last night? Me? Me, myself, and I. Or was the night before? It doesn't matter. To point out how outrageous this guy's argument was. You can go back and listen. I don't need to play it. That would be monotonous. But now we have this. Stewart's rep did not respond to the Post's request for comment. Meanwhile, the New York assessor evaluation on Stewart's former penthouse is the exact same citation method and the exact same metric that New York Attorney General Lamarcus James used to value Trump's private and personal properties and then sued him for inflating those assets. This includes Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach, known as his main residence, which was assessed at only $18 million at the time. Real estate brokers had valued it at 50 times more than that amount. Same for his private 200-acre New York family estate. Last month, Manhattan Supreme Court Justice, these are not really justices per se, they're the lowest of the trial courts at the local level. He ordered Trump to pay $300, you know all this. Now, what the Post doesn't ask is the follow-up question. Will Lamarcus James be investigating John Stewart Leibowitz for real estate fraud? I'm not saying he committed fraud, but will she be using the same statute that she used against Donald Trump to go after John Stewart Leibowitz? Now, that's what people should be asking online, and that's what people should be asking Stewart spokesidiot. And I'm asking it publicly. Johnny, are you going to invite Lamarcus James to investigate you, to look into your books? Because otherwise, you're a hypocrite. You don't want to be, you believe in equality, don't you? The little guy. You rant and rave on your low-rated show. And look at this, coming out later. The arrogance is unbelievable. While you, at the very same time, you knew it, you little a-hole. You knew what you had done. You knew what you had done. And yet there you are, trying to rip into Trump, right? So it's not just that he's a hypocrite. If all this reporting is true, and I assume it is, and Johnny Leibowitz, you're free to come on the air here for the 4,000th time and have a discussion about it. What do you say? What do you say? Yeah, yeah. Well, then it's worse than a hypocrite. According to you, Johnny, you're a fraud. That's according to you. According to you, you're a fraud. But it's not good enough to be called a fraud. Don't you need to be a certified fraud? So I am asking Lamarcus James if she believes in the equal application of the law to investigate you. to unleash all the resources of the state of New York, to subpoena all your tax files, all your property records, all your income records, and of course make them public, right? Right? You want to be treated like everybody else who's in your situation. And you should demand it, Johnny. You should demand it, given what you said and what your comedian writers, such as they are, wrote. You should demand it. I'm looking here. Stewart argued that money isn't infinite. A loan that goes to the liar doesn't go to someone who's giving a more honest evaluation, so the system becomes incentivized for corruption. So you're corrupt, you said, by your own definition. You also contended that failing to declare a higher market value on property while paying taxes based on lower assessed value constitutes fraudulent behavior. So your behavior was fraudulent. You condemn yourself, you little a-hole. The Attorney General in New York said he knew that Trump's property values were inflated because when it came time to pay taxes, Trump undervalued the very same properties. Why didn't you say, I, John Stewart Leibovitz, overvalued my property, inflated them for the purpose of selling it, but undervalued my property, that is, for the purpose of paying taxes? Quote, it was all part of a very specific real estate practice known as lying. Now, this little a-hole, he will show his face back on Comedy Central. He will have his spin. He'll turn himself into a pretzel if he addresses it at all. Nobody will give a damn that he is forevermore a certified liar, according to his definition, fraudster, according to his definition, and hypocrite, according to his definition. And to wrap it all up, he's arrogant about it, according to his definition. That's John Stewart Leibovitz, according to John Stewart Leibovitz, based on news reports about what he did with his penthouse. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Pure Talk believes in American values and that free should mean exactly that, free. Switch to Pure Talk today and get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. No four-line requirement, no activation fees, just a Samsung that's built to last with a rugged screen, quick charging battery, and top-tier data security. Qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and mobile hotspot. Pure Talk will connect you to the most dependable 5G network in America for half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year. So let Pure Talk's expert U.S. customer service team help you make the switch today. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, and claim your eligibility for your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone and start saving on wireless today. Again, go to puretalk.com/Levin to switch to my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Johnny Stewart Leibovitz has responded on the internet. Oh my God, I've been caught doing something not remotely similar to Trump. I guess all I need to do now is start a fraud college, steal classified documents, bankrupt casinos, pay hush money, grab something, discriminate in housing, cheat at golf, and foment insurrection, and you'll revere me. And I write, caught red-handed, and you make a dumbass argument. According to you, you're a liar, a fraud, a hypocrite, and you're arrogant about it. Sound familiar, Johnny? And of course, the law should be applied equally. Didn't you say that too? So Letitia James should investigate you and your taxes and your sale, apply the same law she dusted off against Trump, and shove it all up your, you know what, clown. What's wrong with my reply, Mr. Producer? And so next time you see this guy arrogantly railing against society, against the rich, inequality and injustice, just know he's just another fraud, as most of these left-wing kooks are in entertainment. When you just scratch the surface, this is what you get. This is what you get. Yes, I will post that now. Now, why don't you list all the things about Biden, you Democrat hack hypocrite? Now, here's what I'll do. Yeah, I'll have my son get millions and millions of dollars from China and other foreign enemies. I'll pretend I don't know anything about it despite 40 phone calls and meetings. That's what we'll do. We'll run it through front corporations, launder it through them so nobody knows. Well, what's the big deal with that? I'll set up two S corporations, which is what the Bidens did, so we don't have to pay the Obamacare tax that we so love. I've classified information in my home. I'll keep it secret from everybody, but I'll reveal it to the ghostwriter so I can shake down a publisher for $8 million. I'll do that. Oh, yeah, I'll start my career kissing the ass of the worst segregationist racists in the history of our country, Eastland, Stennis, Talmadge, Wallace. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll be the sponsor of a crime bill in 1994 that specifically targeted crack in black communities, even though the NAACP said, don't do it, Joe. I did it. That's right. I don't want my kids to be part of a jungle, so I'll oppose the integration of public schools. That's what I'll do. What about that? You jackass. You're not even funny. You don't even know how to write your own jokes. You're just like all the other creeps, the phony comics at night. One slob after another. You all sound alike, you're all stupid, and you're all hypocrites.
Looking out for the little guy.
You're a mouthpiece for the Democrat Party. That's all you are. That's all you are. And you think you're funny. That's why you have no audience. Hell, I'm on Sundays, and I have anywhere from 1.6 million to 2 million. It just depends whether there's football or something going on. These guys, some of them don't even get that. They're on a network. I'm on cable on Sunday and Saturday. These guys, they're on network TV in every home in the country. You don't have to be a subscriber. And most of them don't hit 2 million. I have more people listening to me on radio and watching me in TV in the aggregate than they do. And I guarantee you they're paid a hell of a lot more than I am. There's no question about that. One day I'll have to prove that, Mr. Producer.
Hey, John Stewart, railing against the system. Railing against Trump. Oh, you caught me, huh? Wow.
Arrogant to the end. These guys are all arrogant. You know what's. No wonder they like Biden. No wonder they like Sanders. No wonder they like thugs like Castro. No wonder.
Comedy today, it's really funny. Comedy Central, and it's 12 viewers. That's unbelievable.
And the guy, what is it? Guy Oliver, the other guy, the import from Britain? You know, British humor is funny. British humor is funny. When a British guy is trying to do American humor, actually trying to do Democrat Party humor, it's monotonous. It's stupid. All right. And Johnny, here comes Johnny. Johnny, you're welcome on the show. I'd love to debate you on this issue. Johnny. I'll be right back. Pure Talk believes in American values and that free should mean exactly that. Free. Switch to Pure Talk today and get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. No four-line requirement, no activation fees, just a Samsung that's built to last with a rugged screen, quick charging battery, and top-tier data security. Qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and mobile hotspot. Pure Talk will connect you to the most dependable 5G network in America for half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year. So let Pure Talk's expert U.S. customer service team help you make the switch today. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, and claim your eligibility for your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone and start saving on wireless today. Again, go to puretalk.com/Levin to switch to my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
Blasting conservative fire. The Mark Levin Show. Call in now at 877-381-3811.
You know, I'm growing my podcast, so no matter what, we'll always be there. No matter what. We've had a few stations from time to time. They go all Spanish. Not many, couple. Okay, we're still available. Or if we're preempted for, you know, the Ernie Grabowski checkers game, we're still available. So, Mr. Producer, whisper in my ear, the best way for people to go and find my podcast is how? Yeah. You just, any of the podcast platforms, you type in Mark Levin Show. Or go to marklevinshow.com, and we will provide you with the platforms to go to. It's that simple. marklevinshow.com. Or type in Mark Levin Show on any of the platforms, and we pop up. We also have our own YouTube channel. And on that website, I own all the content on that website. So that's marklevinshow.com. marklevinshow.com. And that will direct you to everywhere and anywhere. It's a great website. Great website. So there is that as well. All right. Gosh. There's just so much here. This is very, very important. And somebody at Red State picked up on this, and then I followed up, and I looked at this Politico article, too. Remember when Joe Biden goes to the southern border where he can't find any illegal immigrants? Isn't that amazing? They're coming in by the millions, and he can't find it.
I don't see anything. No problem here. Hey, it must be working, open borders.
And then you go into this article in Politico where they say Biden was planning executive action on the border. Now he's gone silent. The president was close to announcing a string of moves, but they never came. Here's why. And among other reasons, they argue, he thinks it's settled down. It's not as hot a topic as it used to be. But here's the paragraph that Red State pointed out, and I went and found it, and they are 100% right. This is the glaring paragraph that nobody is talking about. In Politico, quote, ready? This is going to, like the Obama administration did in 2012 with the launch of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Now, let's stop there. DACA. There's no statutory basis for DACA. A judge has ruled it unconstitutional. It's stuck in the courts. But it's now effectively the law without ever becoming a law. Now, that is a definition of a tyranny. So they put this DACA in place, catch me if you can, and now it's in place. Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program. Biden administration officials, ready, are also examining whether there's an action they could take for a different group of undocumented people, seeing haven't gotten away with that and the student loans. They're on a run here. A different group of people. Undocumented people who have long resided in the United States. What can I do with a pen and a phone, asked Biden, to give them amnesty? Excuse me? According to three people familiar with the administration's planning, one idea that has been floated among administration officials is opening access to the cancellation of removal program for people who have lived in the U.S. for over 10 years. In other words, we're not going to remove you if you've been here over 10 years. And have citizen or resident relatives who would suffer if they were deported. What does that have to do with the purpose of immigration, which is to improve the country for the citizens? They don't care about the citizens. A little fentanyl here and there can't hurt you. If specific requirements are met and an immigration judge, most of them are leftists, approves cancellation of removal, a migrant is able to obtain a green card. You obtain a green card, you're on your way to citizenship. So what Biden is saying is he is preparing a methodology, a process to give amnesty, citizenship, to illegal aliens who have been here over 10 years. And if they're removed, their relatives will suffer. Gee, I can hear an administrative law judge just rubber stamping that. Biden is looking to do a massive amnesty. Massive. And of course, the media is so corrupt, they're fine with it. They're fine with Hamas. They're going to be fine with this. The media is so corrupt, they're fine with it. That's why Politico put it on, as I print out, second page, like 15th paragraph. Like 15th paragraph. So what Obama wants to do is an executive order giving amnesty to millions of people who've been here more than 10 years. On top of that, they'll have DACA. What's that, Rich? Biden, I apologize. Biden. Yeah. And it's right here in the article, but it's hidden. You know, like the New York Times used to hide stuff and still does. It's in the back. Now, did anybody know this? I went again for the third time, give a hat tip to Red State. Did anybody know this? No, nobody knew this. And they're plotting to do it right now. So they're destroying our suburbs. They're destroying mobility, your automobile. They're destroying the border. They've destroyed law enforcement. They're destroying our military. They're destroying our economic system. They're destroying our dollar. They're destroying the state of Israel and our relationship with that country as they embrace the river to the sea crowd here in the United States and they want to turn them out to vote. And now, in addition to flying illegal aliens into the country, flying 300,000 of them. We don't have enough. Come on, send out the planes. Let's bring some more in. And in addition to doing that, he's plotting to give millions of illegal aliens who've been here more than 10 years, 10 years or more, amnesty. You know, Joe Biden thinks he has the trade unions in his back pocket. Is that true? What do you think this is going to do to trade unions? I understand some of these bosses are complete sellouts to the Democrat Party. They like the phone calls from the president. They like the dinners. They like the power. They like the events. But what about the worker bees in the trades union? Do you like this? CNN did a CNN type article. And in the CNN article, it's a long piece, long, long. I had printed out, it was 7 pages. I must have had to replace the ink on how people don't understand how individuals in Arizona on the border actually like what's taking place. Oh, no, they like what's taking place. Some of the businesses down there, they're relying on the illegal immigrants to purchase their products and to do their work. They're relying on them. I thought to myself, and I posted. You should follow me on X and the rest of it. I posted because I have my thoughts up there before I get on radio. Why didn't they send their investigative team into the sex slavery business to find out what's taking place with so many of these people? Or the child pornography industry? Or the drug cartels? And the communist Chinese pushing fentanyl into our country? Why didn't they do a docu-series on that? Why are they going down there doing a massive propaganda campaign, CNN, for illegal immigration? When they went down there, why didn't they talk to some of the women who've been raped and beaten? Probably can't find them. Like Biden, because they're not looking. And all the destruction that's actually occurred on the border. CNN didn't do that. They do the opposite. They actually wrote and did a long, long piece on what the people down there really think, as if this is representative of what the people down on the border of Arizona really think. That's CNN. It's sickening. The news industry in this country is destroying the country. If the Democrat Party knew it had to check the media, things would be a little different. Instead, it has a propaganda demagogic operation in the media. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Pure Talk believes in American values and that free should mean exactly that, free. Switch to Pure Talk today and get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. No four-line requirement, no activation fees, just a Samsung that's built to last with a rugged screen, quick charging battery, and top-tier data security. Qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and mobile hotspot. Pure Talk will connect you to the most dependable 5G network in America for half the price of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year. So let Pure Talk's expert U.S. customer service team help you make the switch today. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, and claim your eligibility for your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone and start saving on wireless today. Again, go to puretalk.com/Levin to switch to my cell phone company, Pure Talk. John Eastman, I met him about 35, 40 years ago. One of the smartest lawyers I've ever known. He was a law clerk to Clarence Thomas. He was the dean of a law school, a law professor, a scholar. And Politico reports, as of 20 minutes ago, a California judge recommended the disbarment of John Eastman, calling to revoke the law license of one of former President Donald Trump's top allies, writes Politico, in his failed last-ditch gambit to subvert the 2020 election. Nobody was subverting the 2020 election. They were challenging it. That's the history of our electoral process. Ask Al Gore, who brought scores of lawsuits in Florida to, quote-unquote, subvert the 2000 results, I guess. Judge Yvette Rowland, whoever that is, who presided over months of testimony and argument about the basis of Eastman's fringe legal theories. Fringe, you see. See, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to boot Trump off the ballot, that wasn't fringe. No. Lamarckist James dusting off a fraud statute that has nothing to do with Donald Trump or real estate and then trying to steal his property. That wasn't fringe. No. Using RICO in Atlanta, that's not fringe. No. Using the Ku Klux Klan Act about January 6th, that's not fringe. No, no way. And on and on and on. None of that's fringe. It's all straight as an arrow. Oh. Yvette Rowland ruled that the veteran conservative attorney violated ethics rules and even potentially criminal law when he advanced Trump's efforts to overturn the election results based on flimsy or discredited claims of fraud. Let me ask you a question. In 1876, when there was this big battle that we've talked about, the floor of the House, over electors, that is, the Electoral College, you don't have to have even fraud or claims of fraud as a basis for challenging an election. There's no law, nothing in the Constitution that compels that. So why are they applying this differently to Eastland? Though Eastland may appeal Rowland's decision, including to the state Supreme Court, you see what it's like in these Democrat states? You got to get the hell out of there. If you're a patriot, you got to get the hell out of these states. Now, it won't help us with the Electoral College. It might hurt us. But while you can, you need to pursue liberty. You need to pursue freedom for yourself and your family. You might even want to use a gas-powered combustion engine while you can, because there's 8 blue states that are actually going to outlaw the car. Eastman testified for hours during his trial, claiming that he relied on a cadre of statisticians and data analysts to conclude the 2020 election was rife with misconduct, and that state legislatures in a handful of swing states should step in to replace Joe Biden's electors with Trump. Why is that a crime? It's not a crime. That's why nobody's been charged with any crime. Oh, RICO, that's not a crime. We've had a slate of alternative electors before. I mentioned 1876 as an example. She concluded Eastman stretched and contorted even his own outlier theories. And she goes on, all right, it's a political decision that I fear will destroy this man's career. In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Yeah, be me. Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. I want to thank Joe Biden for cutting the national debt, as he claims. Everybody has said he's a liar. He knows he's a liar. The media know he's a liar. His campaign knows he's a liar. But he's cut the national debt. He didn't cut anything. The COVID funds ran out, Mr. Producer. So the spending, in that respect, cannot be included. And he's counting that as a cut that he cut. This is a sick bastard, this guy. He really is. Now, I want you to listen to the montage put together by the RNC. Cut six, go.
Cut the national debt by $1.7 trillion.
We literally cut the federal debt in half by $1.4
trillion. $1.7
trillion.
$1.7 trillion cut.
We cut the debt by $1.7 billion in the last 2 years.
Let me say that again. $1.7 trillion.
I reduced the budget by $1.7 billion. Okay? I reduced the debt.
We cut the federal debt in half. Fact.
In the first 2 years of my administration, I cut the debt by $1.7
trillion. $1.7
billion. $1.7 trillion. $1.7
trillion. $1.7
trillion.
$7
billion.
$1.7
trillion.
$1.7 billion. It's a trillion dollars. Not billion, $1 trillion.
$1.7 trillion. Hear me?
No one's ever reduced the debt that much.
Ay, ay, ay. Even the left-wing media put out 28 Pinocchios on it, but it doesn't matter. So he has these issues. Everybody knows he has these issues. The Democrats have talked about, at least in the past, now they're rallying around him because they know they can't get rid of him. And so now they got to take out, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., imprison Trump. They got to clear the way for him. And so, as you may have heard by now, Karine Jean-Pierre was on WBT, one of our great affiliate stations. Massive station, 50,000 watts, maybe 100,000, maybe 100 trillion, maybe 1.7 trillion, Mr. Producer. And our friend Garrison there, local host, he's somehow, she agreed to come on his show and tries to interview her. Cut five, go.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then. Big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family, a working-class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID. There was the economy was in a tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the President Trump left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget Russia's invasion on Ukraine.
skyrocketed prices of gas. And because the president took action, we see we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow.
And she hung up.
She hung up on Mark Garrison's great host, WBT, because the question before, he said, a lot of people want to know if the president has dimensions. He said, does she? And she got offended. Yeah. Look, you can't question the king. Can't question the king. And so she hung up on him. And luckily they were recording. We record our interviews as well. Not for that, but we record it because we do every show we record. We put it on the MarkLevinShow.com website every evening. So we have like 4 years worth. How do you think Media Matters gets our stuff? They go on our website and steal it. That's how. Or anybody else. We're not afraid of it. So you see, Biden, everybody knows he's a head case, but the Democrats want you to pretend he's not. The Democrats want you to pretend when they create narratives, when they create fictions, when they create pseudo-events and pseudo-news, that you're going to fall for it. Why? Because the Democrat Party is totalitarian. And if it had its way, this would be a very different country, even worse than it is right now, what they're doing to it, that is. But here's a voice of reason. America's governor. America's governor. This is a man who never gives up, who's always on the job, who's always trying to advance the cause of liberty and citizenship. Each and every day when he gets up, he's full of energy, he's full of good spirit. He'll be a very, very strong contender should he choose to run in 2028. My governor, DeSantis, cut 7, go.
Does your house belong to you? Or if you are not using it, can someone just come in, squat for a period of time, and then claim that they have a right to be there? This so-called squatter scam is something that's happening around the country. There's even videos telling people how to go in and take over an empty house. That was never how the law was supposed to work. And in Florida, we are going to take action today to end this scam and to protect the private property rights of our homeowners. You should not have anyone go on your property and take it over and then try to assert some rights. It's absurd. We're going to put an end to it today, and we'll be leading the way yet again in the process.
See, in Florida, you have a true civil society as was always intended to be, where the citizen is paramount, where the role of government is to protect the individual. I want you to compare that governor to these blue state governors. I want you to compare what goes on in Florida to what goes on in New York, whether it's the rioting that took place in 2020, whether it's the undermining of the cops, whether it is being a sanctuary city and state where all these illegal aliens are coming in and welcomed, even though they complain about them, they welcome them. They're not taking over Florida public facilities, Florida schools, Florida parks. They're not taking over facilities in the inner cities where people in the inner cities have it tough enough. None of that's going on. And he's the most conservative governor in America. No question about it. Because conservatism works. Our principles are true. It works. That's why he got rid of DEI and all the college, public colleges and universities in Florida. He eliminated all the positions. That's why he eliminated critical race theory curriculum, for which he was attacked by the CRT proponents. That's why he said, you take all that pornographic filth out of our elementary schools. You know, if parents were showing this to their kids at night under the cover of dark, they would lose their kids. And so he says, I'm not going to allow my state to give the patina legitimacy to sexualizing 7 years old, 7 year olds. It's not going to happen. They call it the anti-gay statute, which, of course, is a lie. Today, Disney pulled out from its lawsuit with the state of Florida. It surrendered. And so DeSantis was tough, and he won that.
and Disney lost. The wokers at Disney lost. And I want you to remember that Nikki Haley took the side of Disney. Communist Chinese are not free to buy property in Florida. I can go down the list of why people are flooding into Florida, not moving, flooding into Florida. And they look at New York and they say, you know what? You don't care about us. You're destroying our city. It's not safe around here. You now have these DAs and this attorney general who are going after businesses, trying to destroy people. I'm going to get my ass the hell out of here while I can. And I'm going to drive my combustion engine, gas-powered vehicle out of here while I still can. Because New York's one of the blue states that intends to ban them. You're going to have states banning the vehicles. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
You know, America, I was watching a clip. What was it, Bill Maher, Mr. Producer, that I was watching? And I don't do that a lot. I'm not a clip guy, you know. But I happened upon something. This young lady was on Bill Maher debating him and others. I said, wow, she's smart. She's good. She knows how to engage these people. So we looked into it a little bit. Her name is Batya Unger Sargun. She has a fantastic new book coming out, Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. It's out next Tuesday. Of course, we will post it on all of our social sites. How are you?
Well, Mr. Levin, I feel like I've won the jackpot being here with you because I'm such a fan of yours. And also, as you well know, it's known in the industry that your audience is really smart and that they actually still read books. So I'm like totally thrilled to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first of all, call me Mark. And secondly, we're excited to have you. And I want America out there to understand how important this book is that you've written. I mean, and when I'm telling you, there's very few people who I watch from time to time, I don't watch a lot, on TV who are impressive. You're very impressive. So tell us why you decided to write this book and tell us about your book. I'm going to give you the floor.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so, so much. I wrote this book because we're constantly told this canard that America is a white supremacist nation, that we're deeply divided, that we've never been so divided since the Civil War. And it's simply nonsense. I mean, the vast majority of Americans, 70% of Americans agree on 70% of the issues. All of the things that used to divide us have evaporated. There's so much unity in this nation. And I cannot stand to see these millionaire hosts of TV shows lecturing the working class, sneering at the working class from their perch of unbelievable privilege. And so I wrote this book because I felt that the working class had been silenced. And honestly, before Trump, betrayed by both parties and both sides, the elites of both sides. And I wanted to get their voices back out there. I wanted to know, who is the American working class, and do they still have a fair shot at the American dream? And if not, how do we widen the avenue to the American dream for working class Americans? And so I traveled the country for a year. I interviewed working class Americans in all industries of all races, religious persuasions, family setups. And what I found was unbelievable unity on the most important issues, on policy issues, and they're simply being ignored. And so I wrote this book to give them a voice. That's what I did.
So you travel the country for a year, you're talking to people, you're observing. Reminds me of Alexis de Tocqueville, quite frankly. And you're taking in what's going on out there, and what you are reporting is, wait a minute,
we're still Americans. 70% of us agree on 70% of the issue, and these elites, this ruling class and the media and so on, are trying to rip us to shreds by imposing their own views upon us, correct?
Correct.
And also, my question is, and in your book, now, folks, I haven't had a chance to read it, but I got to get the book, Mr. Producer. My question to you is this. So you hear a lot of people when you were walking around and so forth and checking out the country, and I get people coming up to me at the diner and so forth. Even though we may agree on so many things, they're scared to death about what's happening to the country, right?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah. People feel very, very worried about the direction the country is going in, and they feel like their voices are not being heard, and they are right. And it's a travesty, not only because it's anti-democratic, right? Like, you know, you have 70% of the country who wants something and they can't get it, right? Like, that's not how a democracy is supposed to work. It's anti-democratic, but it's also, they are unbelievably tolerant people with an unbelievably sharp and smart sense of what is right for them and for their children. And everything the elites are doing is terrible and worse than what they would do if they were in power. And that's what's so infuriating about it, is you have these leftist democratic elites who are waging class warfare on the working class. The entire democratic agenda is an upward transfer of wealth from the working class to the over-credentialed college elites. And they just get away with this plunder of the middle class, which of course they do, as you cover again and again on your show so eloquently, you know, in the name of all of these highfalutin ideals, which is just really an alibi for betraying their own neighbors.
And by the way, I think I need to bring you on TV, because I saw you on TV. You're not only passionate, you're very intelligent. And honestly, we have a farm team out there, we who believe in liberty in this country. And I try to do what I can, whether it's on radio or TV, to give them a shot, you know, so people are out there. But I saw you engage in a way that put a big smile on my face. And I even said to Mr. Producer, who is this young lady? Don't get me wrong. It's like I live in a, you know, in a cocoon. So I don't know everything that's going on out there. And I said, I need to bring, if you don't mind, I need to present her to millions of people, because she's really, really good. Now, on this book, tell us a little bit about when you went around, you interviewed these people, how are the elites betraying them? They're trying to impose their own will on them. What are they doing exactly?
Let's start with the economic piece. So the Democrats used to be the party of labor, right? You used to have this dichotomy. The Democrats represented the working class, the working man, the middle class, and the Republicans used to be the party of, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, you know, free trade, tax cuts, trickle down, this stuff. This is all pre-Trump, right? Bill Clinton gets into office, and what does he do? He signs NAFTA into law, and suddenly we're shipping 5 million good middle class jobs to China and Mexico to build up their middle class. That was a Democrat that did that. Just total betrayal. We used to have an economy that the biggest sector of the economy was in manufacturing. Manufacturing jobs are good paying jobs where you can be a working class person with a middle class life. You can own your own home, retire in dignity, and so forth. The Democrats shipped all those jobs overseas. And then Obama showed up and said, those jobs aren't coming back. We're going to send everyone to college, right? Because college, you know, is a great factory for producing Democrats. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Biden showed up with the final piece of the puzzle and opened the border so that all of the jobs that remained here, service industry jobs and so forth, suddenly you have 10, 12 million people flooding those industries, driving down working class wages, right? So they shipped the good jobs overseas, and then they imported an entirely new slave caste from failed socialist states to service them, the elites. It's a total upward transfer of wealth, because the elites, the credentialed elites, are the consumers of low-wage immigrant labor who compete with the working class.
The book is Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. It is out next Tuesday. I encourage you to grab your copy. We're speaking to Batya Unger Sargon, And we're going to bring her right back. I want you to learn a little bit about her. She'll give us a little bit of information on her background. She's an up-and-coming star. I'm telling you, I saw it, I hear it, I know it. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin, the thunder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
Here we be. Here I is. With Batya Ungar Sargon, a brand new book, Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. We have it up there on all our social sites. I want to encourage you to grab a copy. And I'm going to grab a copy tomorrow morning. I'm going to dig into this book because I hear it is absolutely fantastic. And you're listening to the author. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, wow. Well, like you, I was born in Philadelphia.
And you got out of there. Okay.
I did get out of there, yeah. I'm an Orthodox Jew. Very, very proud. I'm sitting here thanking God for the fact that I'm on your show right now in the break.
Goodness.
And I feel so honored and lucky, and I'm sort of a little bit speechless. I'm the opinion editor at Newsweek. I hope you'll appreciate this. Every day I run what we call the daily debate. So we take the biggest question of the day and we have both sides. We have a Democrat debate or Republican, because it's so rare that we see that happen in the same space. And often there's a lot of common ground. And that's really, I think I would say, like, the focus of my career is finding that common ground and convincing Americans that the polarization that we see is really an elite phenomenon. It exists in the spaces where people make money and consolidate power by convincing you to hate your fellow American. But as soon as you get out of those spaces and those elite, you know, industries, across the nation, Americans are praying next to people they disagree with politically. They are working with people who vote for the other party, and it would never occur to them to hold that against somebody.
Mm-hmm. Are the media in America today are quite dangerous, aren't they? I mean, they really are destroying the whole profession and destroying the whole concept of a free press. I mean, their agenda seems to be to advance the ideology of one side, no?
100%. In fact, my first book is called Bad News, How Woke Media is Undermining Democracy. And what I found in that book was actually that the real problem with the media is not so much that it's leftist, although it is, it's that it is extremely elitist. So, you know, it's true. 96% of journalists who give donations to political parties donate to the Democrats. Everything you and your audience is like, hey, this seems like all the journalists are leftists. Like, you're totally right about that. But even worse than that is that they, by and large, go to very elite universities. The majority of them have a graduate degree, even though only a third of Americans have a BA. And they increasingly live amongst the powerful people who they are supposed to cover adversarially, and their children go to the same fancy private schools as the people they're supposed to be covering adversarially. So there's really been a class consolidation around those with power and those with these sort of ridiculous elite university pedigrees. And they have come to really have contempt for the average American from that position of extreme wealth and privilege. They really look down on regular people, which is, I believe, why they allowed, you know, these, you know, Obama, Clinton, and Biden to sell out the future of the working class, because they really, it's not just that they believe that they disagree with them. They have utter contempt for people who don't have that college degree. And they truly, in the extreme cases, and you can see this watching cable news, the leftist cable news, they truly don't believe that these people who disagree with them have the right to vote. And that's what you're seeing with the attempts to destroy Donald Trump, who really represents, like, the will of the people at this moment.
So there's been this transition where the Democrat Party represents the elitists, the media represent the elitists, they represent the power centers, Washington, New York, L.A., I guess. And so now they're having to build their platform, their core, whatever you want to call it, their base, on really different groups of people from time to time, right? So now we have what I call the river to the sea crowd. And Joe Biden is desperately trying to get the votes of the river to the sea crowd. And he's willing to throw Israel under the bus to get it because he just assumes I'll get 70% of the Jewish vote. It doesn't matter. Now I got to go get those other people in these battleground states. Is that kind of what's going on?
I think so. Yeah. As the Democrats abandoned the working class, they started to see their new base as the college credentialed elites, you know, the suburban moms, like the people who have, you know, 9 out of 10 of the richest counties in America now go for Democrats, right? There's been a complete realignment. 65% of Americans who make more than $500,000 a year now are Democrats, right? Like, and 74% of Americans who are living in districts below the median income vote for Republicans. So there's been a complete realignment where the Democrats are now the party of the over-credentialed top 10%, 20%, and the dependent poor, right? So they're a coalition of people who don't work at the bottom and people who have very good paying jobs at the top. And then the Republicans represent the working class. And do you know what's so amazing, Mark? And I'm very curious if you agree with me about this. I think if you just look at the policy of Donald Trump, just the policy, mm-hmm. he is the consensus candidate that Joe Biden pretended he was going to be. He really does represent where, you know, the median American middle class, working class voter is on trade, on immigration, on abortion. Now he's courting the unions. He's courting black voters. He is exactly who the Democrats used to be. And that is why they have to destroy him, because he is their pro-labor past coming back to haunt them.
I think that's a great point. You know, I think one of the first people to figure this out politically was Rick Santorum. You remember Rick Santorum?
Yeah.
Senator from Pennsylvania. And he would constantly say, we're abandoning our union people. We're abandoning the middle class. We're abandoning the blue collar worker. And he wrote a book about this years and years ago. And what they try to do, the media, like what they're doing with Trump now, is complete distraction. They don't want to debate on the issues, on the policy differences. They don't want to get into any of that. So now we debate, you know, lawfare, or we debate the latest case, which I have to get into. I can't blow it off, and all the rest of it. They do not want a toe-to-toe battle of ideas on these different issues. Does that make sense?
I totally agree with that. And the reason they don't want it is because they would lose.
Mm-hmm. Right. 100%. Well, listen, you're delightful. Folks, you'll get to see her one of these days on Fox. I'm all booked up, but we'll try and get that to happen. But the book comes out Tuesday. Batya Unger Sargon. Yeah. I encourage you to get it. Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. What we're going to do is I'm going to start looking at this book, and I'm going to talk about it later in the week as well, really to give it a fair shot. So I want to thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. God bless you for this and everything you do.
And you too. God bless you too. So I'm watching. Did you send it to me, Mr. Madure? Somebody. I saw the clip. And honestly, who the hell is this? Wow. She's got energy, and she's in there going toe-to-toe with these bigwigs. She's scoring points left and right. And, you know, I can't be everywhere, so I can't read everything. I do my best. And that's when I said to Mr. Producer, let's find her and bring her on. And now I know she has this book coming out on Tuesday, so I'm going to get a copy of this. I'm going to start to go through it, and then I will tell you the sorts of things that are in it. But I'm sure it's very, very smart. What is it, Rich? Oh, right. The book is Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. You can get it on Amazon.com immediately, and it'll come to your door when it comes out on Tuesday. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
We have my good friend John Eastman on. And no matter what the state tries to do to John Eastman, he will always be my good friend. And he's a brilliant lawyer. And he's caught up in the times for which he's being punished. Now, John Eastman, welcome to the show. I know you can't be happy. And you now have a judge who's recommending that you be disbarred because of the advice that you gave. And I'm interested in your reaction to this.
Well, the ruling came down about 2 hours ago. It's 128 pages. There are
demonstrably false statements on nearly every page. Even one of repeating a citation by the bar lawyers that we'd already pointed out was a doctored quotation to make the quotation sound as if it stood for something that was not even involved in the particular case they were citing. And she just repeats it as its gospel truth. The gravamen of all the statements is I committed moral turpitude because I continued to insist, contrary to certain government officials, that there was illegality in the election. And that's demonstrably true. But, you know, the CISA chief said this was the most secure election in history, and Bill Barr said there wasn't any evidence of fraud. And we're supposed to just bend our knee to these blatantly false statements by government officials and or be accused of yourself telling a lie because you speak the truth. And it's rather Orwellian what we're dealing with.
And then you're going to appeal to the state Supreme Court, and they will have, I guess, the final say. What do you feel? You have a lot of friends that have closed their doors to you, or worse, have turned on you, go on TV dismissing you. It's really difficult watching human nature from time to time, isn't it?
It really is, Mark. And but I've also gained an immense level of support. Thousands and thousands of people whom I've never met sending prayers or donations to my legal defense fund. They understand what's going on. That our country is on a precipice of losing our ability to speak freely and criticize our government. And they're supporting me on that side of the political aisle. I'm a hero. And I'll continue to fight because, you know, this is the fight for our day that is comparable to, you know, what our founders dealt with in overturning the tyranny of King George III or what Lincoln dealt with. I mean, we are at a precipice in our country, and it requires that people like you and me and others who have the skill sets that we have to stand up and fight it. And, so I'm doing that with all my being. And, you know, anybody that watched the 10 weeks of trial and that this judge is just utterly ridiculous rulings throughout the course of that trial, not letting me call witnesses, blocking, you know, evidence, that sort of thing. This ruling is not a surprise. But it also is a flagrant violation of my First Amendment rights. The Supreme Court has recognized, even if you make false statements, that's protected by the First Amendment. And of course, my statements are not false, and, you know, despite her 128 pages of claims otherwise. And, you know, and we will, I think, we'll have an opportunity to even get to the U.S. Supreme Court to address the First Amendment issues that underlie this thing.
So she wants you disbarred because of the advice you gave, advice that I guess was similar to advice that was given in 1876. And you look at the headlines, and of course, most of the people writing headlines and writing news don't have the foggiest idea what's going on. It's really a mob mentality, like Politico. John Eastman, architect of Trump's 2020 election plot.
Right.
You're challenging an election. It's not a plot. Or
right.
That you're trying to overturn the election results. You're challenging an election. Didn't Al Gore hire a bunch of lawyers to challenge an election in Florida, John Eastman?
Well, I mean, in fact,
yeah.
In fact, they had even drafted memos to have Gore electors meet in Florida if the Supreme Court hadn't already decided the case before that. Exactly the same thing on the electors issue that I had said our guys have to meet on the 14th in order to protect the ongoing viability of the pending litigation.
Alan Dershowitz said on my show more than once on TV that he was litigating on behalf of Gore, and they were ready to go with their own slate of electors. And if you don't go with your own slate of electors, you have nothing to offer when you challenge, correct?
That's right. And your case has become moot because the Constitution requires the electors to meet on the designated day. And if they don't, there's a real constitutional question on whether they can be counted, even if they are later determined to be the ballot electors.
So whether people agree with you or disagree with you, the idea that giving your advice, giving your opinion now is subject to you losing your law license.
Yep.
And that's your point. It's whether you agree with me or disagree with me, you're giving me the death penalty when it comes to the legal profession, right?
That's right. And you know, the claiming that I made false statements on Steve Bannon's show or on the mall or in an article.
Steve Bannon's show.
On
They're even yeah. Or my show or any show. What I'm saying is, so your radio interviews they're using against you?
Oh yeah. No, they wanted every statement I ever made about any of the claims I made, and then they said that, well, because you know the government officials said you're wrong about that, then therefore you made knowingly false statements. And I'm sorry, you know, the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania or the Secretary of State of Michigan made blatantly false statements in their press releases. Why should I have to bow down to those blatantly false statements and act as if there was nothing wrong with the election?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you're in this situation, and I'm sorry the media are doing what the media do. I'll just give you an example. Matt Schlapp, he was accused of all kinds of horrific things. And in the end, he was vindicated because he didn't do those things. And we're going to have you back on, John Eastman. I believe in defending what's right and defending those who say what's right. Whether you agree with them or not is not the point. The point is you don't take out lawyers you disagree with. God bless you, my friend. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, you truckers out there, all you first responders, thank you, in Baltimore and elsewhere. And the people of Israel and Ukraine, I stand with you. See you tomorrow.